The Drums mit Blood Under My Belt auf Flux FM, 15 Uhr und 10 Minuten am Donnerstagnachmittag. Und Johnny Pierce, der als Kopf der Kapelle fungiert und der nicht nur die Kompositionen der Drums-Lieder, sondern auch deren Produktion übernommen hat, er steht jetzt bei mir im Studio und wir quatschen ein bisschen über das Leben in L.A. bzw. New York und die Liebe. Wir finden heraus, wie die therapeutische Arbeit an einem sehr persönlichen Werk zur Selbsterkenntnis führen kann, sprechen über kleine Loops, keine Kompromisse und die kleine Welt der großen Künstler. Hello and welcome to Flux FM again, Johnny.
Hey, how are you?
It's
thanks for having
to have
me.
You back.
I heard you say LA, New York.
Yeah.
And so I know you've done some research.
Oh, yeah. Just a little bit. No, it's so good to have you here. Once again, it's like a family reunion,
yeah.
Kind of.
Oh, you guys have always been the best.
Nice.
I appreciate it.
And we appreciate you and your art, Johnny.
Hey, that's what it's about.
Yes, actually it is. So how are you doing today? Where are you coming from?
I'm good. Where were we? I think we flew from Stockholm.
Oh, nice.
Yesterday.
Cool.
And I've been hanging out in this area. I've been over at the Michelberger Hotel, just relaxing and having a nice time there. They're so sweet there.
Yeah.
And so I know this area of Berlin quite well. And everywhere else, I wouldn't know where I was.
Yeah.
But God, I love this place. My boyfriend and I keep talking about, should we just do it? Should we just move to Berlin? Because, you know, it feels like New York's a little tired and LA is just fame obsessed.
It's too sunny there for you as well,
and
right?
It's too sunny.
Yeah.
The sun doesn't go away. So
yeah.
I need some, I think the seasons give your life a natural rhythm.
Totally.
And it helps you kind of keep your feet on the ground and know where you are.
And I think in temperature wise, the winters are pretty similar to the New York winters because it gets really cold here.
Yes, I'm
there's
used to
there's ice
it.
On the river. You can take a walk on the river when there's a certain temperature.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's super nice.
Romantic as well. We don't have that in New York.
So. It's kind of, I mean, if it's getting really cold in Berlin, it gets romantic as well. Sunny
Sold.
And cold, you know.
Sold.
You're invited, man. You're
you.
One of the guys that we want here.
Yes.
And they're getting less and less, right? So many people want to move to Berlin.
All right, I know.
We kind
it gets
of like,
annoying.
We kind of like have to start choosing, you know, who we want.
Yes. Well, I'm honored.
Yeah. We want you, baby. We want
yes.
you.
Yeah.
So touring the record has been good so far. You've kind of like regrouped the band around you with new musicians, and that works out well?
Yes and no. So Jacob left the band during the very beginning stages of making Abysmal Thoughts, which was a little bit scary, but mostly, you know, very quickly I learned that it was a beautiful gift. And that's not to slight him at all. Like, he's a wonderful person. I care for him deeply, and we still talk. But, you know, it just was this beautiful opportunity to say, oh God, you know, I can use this to my advantage. I can really represent who I am.
Yeah.
It came at a point in my life where I had so much I wanted to say and needed to say. It was like opening a valve and letting all the steam come out for the first time, really, in a public setting. You know, there's friends I can talk to here and there, but letting the world know how I feel was what I wanted to do. And I don't think I would have been able to do that if Jacob was still in the band. And that's not to say he was trying to kind of censor me.
Yeah.
But just when you have more than just yourself to represent, by default, you're sort of saying, you know, I'm sitting here creating a guitar melody and that I love. And then I think about Jacob or Connor or whoever. And it sometimes, even though they're not in the room, I'm like, oh, maybe I should play this. Maybe a way Jacob would appreciate a little bit more. Now I'm just, you know, I love cowbells. So I put cowbells on the record and coach whistles. And, you know, I'm just really going for whatever I want to go for.
I have a disease and the only cure is more cowbells, right? Beautiful.
I love cowbell. I don't care about that sketch. Cowbell is always
I love
wonderful.
That sketch. That sketch didn't ruin the cowbell for me as well.
Good.
I mean, it's still alive.
It's
no, but I really love the fact, I mean, you've just talked about the fact that you did this album even more on your own. I mean, all the drum stuff had been like 95% stuff from you, I guess, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But this time it was you without the others in the back of your head. That's the difference.
That's the difference. It's this freedom to really express. And, you know, that boiled over to the artwork, you know, the cover is my boyfriend smelling an athletic shoe, and there's something obviously kind of homoerotic about that.
Yeah.
And it was a chance to explore visual fetishes and musical fetishes. And then it also boiled over into kind of what your first question was, like the live show. And,
yeah.
You know, I took that idea of just really being myself and no matter what. And I put that, you know, that spirit into the live show. So to be honest, you know, the shows have never been better, and it's not because I'm doing extra backflips or being extra crazy. It's actually the opposite. I've decided, you know, to put away that fear that I used to have that really controlled me for the first three records, which was, if I'm not acting like a total lunatic on stage, people are going to leave, or they'll get bored, or, you know, I've always dealt with self-confidence issues my whole life. It stems from childhood and my parents telling me, oh, you can't be gay, that's sick, that's wrong. And it's amazing how that can stick with you your whole life. And you learn all these life lessons and you grow, but there's certain things that still just have their claws in much deeper, you know? And so I've just decided on stage, I'm not going to worry about if I'm going to bore a handful of people. I want to be authentic, and there's nothing more refreshing than being authentic, you know? And so this one thing I've been afraid of my whole life, I thought it would ruin my career. Now that I've accepted it, it's actually made the shows much more powerful and beautiful. So I've never had kids come up at the end of the show talking to me and saying, like,
but it's happening
how
now.
Meaningful it was. Yeah, it's happening now. Before, everyone would just come up and sing Let's Go Surfing in my face or something. And I was like, what is this all about?
Maybe a backflip is a thing that hides your true personal feeling sometimes, right?
It was like putting on clown makeup or something, you know?
But that's the interesting thing about the record. It is like a therapeutical record. Everybody says that about any record somehow, right?
Yeah.
Cliche, the musician puts all his soul in there, and then he might feel better. But on this record, there's so much stuff that you talk about. You mentioned your parents right now, who are super religious and are not accepting the fact that you're in love with men. You had a relationship with a guy who seemed to be the love of your life, and you broke up just before you started making that record. So there's so much personal stuff on there.
Well, and then also, you know, I was married and went through a divorce just before I started making this record. And then when Jacob left, it was sort of these two pillars of stability in my life that have been in my life for a very long time, just kind of crumbled within 2 months of each other. So it sent me, it was like an airplane that lost a wing, and I started just like flying all over the place, upside down.
But then you built the wing, you rebuilt the one wing with music, kind of.
Yeah.
Could one say it like that? To stabilize the plane again.
Yeah, we definitely stabilized it.
I mean, left-winged music, though. The left wing.
You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly.
There's a political thing in there.
There we go.
It's the left wing of the plane.
I'm honored that you would say that. I like to think of it more like we've melted the plane down to liquid metal and formed something different out of it, something beautiful. So it is still very much the drums, but it feels... it just feels more real than it ever has. Yeah. So I'm really, it's weird to say that I'm like, I've never been able to be like, I'm proud of my work or something, but I am really proud of this record. I look at it as like a real timestamp on maybe the most important chapter of my life where I learned to step into myself. Mm-hmm. I mean, I walked here by myself up 5 or 6 flights of stairs, said hi to you, and I wasn't nervous at all. Even 2 years ago, I would need, you know, a manager and, you know, a friend with me. I need people around me all the time to help me feel supported. And I just I'm having a great time right now. And it's because I'm just letting go and just being myself. So, and some days I really screw it all up and I'm not myself at all. You can ask my boyfriend.
I mean, that happens to the best of us. Yes. I mean, really. And I think anything else would be a bit spooky as well, right?
Right. Oh, yeah, like, of course.
Is he on drugs now or something? Let's listen to one more song and then we talk a bit more.
Cool.
Hier sind die Drums nochmal mit Head of the Horse. Einer der wichtigeren und persönlicheren Songs auf dieser Platte, die erschienen ist am 16.06. unter dem Titel Abysmal Thoughts, The Drums. Head of the Horse auf Flux FM, ein Stück Musik von The Drums. In dem wichtige Zeilen gesungen werden. Your sister got married 14 times, but if you fall in love, son, that's a crime. That's one of my favorite lines.
Ah, yeah.
On
that's
the
a tough
LP.
One.
Yeah, it's a tough one. And it does show that you're writing songs about your own story, about your past.
Yes.
And what I kind of like don't, I mean, your parents are super religious and stuff, but sometimes I think with a song like that, aren't they like reachable just a little bit to kind of like open up to the idea that you're never going to fall in love with a woman? I mean, it's not that complicated.
Well, who knows? Maybe I will, but I don't think so. If her name is George, maybe.
And she has a huge beard.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my kind of woman.
Some chest hair. I don't really know. My parents are like, they're kind of like, I know them so well, and then at the same time I don't understand them at all.
Yeah,
you know, like they're pretty predictable, but it's kind of mind-boggling why, you know. And it's funny, this song Head of the Horse actually is, it's a play off the name of the town I grew up in, uh-huh, which is Horseheads, New York. It's a small little town in upstate New York about 5 hours north of the city. And the whole place is just kind of run down. It's a prison town. There's a giant prison there. And a lot of inmates from New York get shipped up there. And when they get out, they just kind of stay put.
And the whole town just works at the prison.
Yeah, everyone works at the prison. Yeah. There's no jobs. Everyone's poor. And so they all, a lot of them anyway, you know, like, I mean, as history has proven, when people are having a hard time, they kind of look for a comforting device. A lot of the time it's religion.
Yeah.
And my father, I think, really takes advantage of that. And so these people come pouring in and he has this message. You know, it's ironically, his church is called the Love Church. That's the name of it. But really what he's preaching is not real love. Mm. It's like his version of love, but it has a lot of caveats, a lot of stuff carved out. It's not an unconditional love, you know.
It's not for everyone, right?
And what's crazy,
only for the un-gay believing people,
white Christian males. Yeah. And so, you know, it's really difficult. And I'm kind of past the point in my life. Part of this big change in my life is caring less and less. You know, I can't spend these limited days that I have on this earth trying to convince anyone, whether they're blood related or not, that I'm a decent human being. You know, I know that I am.
Yeah.
I'm not some mass murderer or rapist. I'm not out there being evil or hitting people with my fist. I pay my taxes and I'm in a rock band and I have a boyfriend that I'm faithful to and love. It's funny.
And that's the thing that I don't want to get too personal with this, but when I listened to the song, I was like, if I try to get into the heads of your parents, kind of like I would listen to the record and be like, okay, fuck, I get it now, you know?
Well, any, you know, sane person would, but, you know, my mother was very explicit to me once and she told me that she would rather have me live alone as a single man than be in love with a man. Mm-hmm. And so they're very like confident in their choice, because here's the thing, people look at them and say, and here's why I always have a little bit of empathy for them. Mm-hmm. And here's why I check in every once in a while. I'm a believer in checking in, you know, once a year.
Sure.
Hey, has anything changed in your heart?
Yeah.
No. Okay. I'll see you in a year, you know? Yeah. But not spending every day trying to convince them of something. I got to live my life.
Yeah,
too,
yeah, sure. You got to stay sane.
There's a lot to be done, you know?
And you get the love, you get much love from people outside of your family.
Well,
maybe you have to kind of like take that and use it instead of the unconditional love that you should get from your family, actually.
Well, here's the deal. It's like, I'm a real believer that you only have so much space in your heart. And so I'm really careful now about who I let in. Because you can clog your heart up. You know, I look at your heart as almost like a house with an attic, and there's a few bedrooms and a kitchen, a couple bathrooms, there's a basement, and you put people in those rooms, then they all fill up.
Yeah.
And I was reserving like the master suite for my parents.
Oh man, that's sweet.
And as soon as I like unlocked that door and opened it up and kind of forgot it, you know, let that go, real unconditional love, true love that I'd never known, really rushed in almost immediately.
Cool.
And it just lifted me up. It made me feel secure. It made me feel better about myself. And so
this is a super nice metaphor with the extra room that you save for the parents, and then your friends come in like, there's an extra room.
Yeah,
I want to have that.
Oh my God, I love this guy. Can I, you know, the last thing you want to say is, oh, I don't have space. I'm hoping for something else to happen later on, you know. So I, you know, if we could all just live by that. I think we'd all be much more careful about who we're letting clog up our life and all the minutes of the day.
Yeah.
So my life, I have more space in my days and am able to think and I'm able to treasure the things I want to treasure. And so I wrote a record called Abysmal Thoughts, but I have less and less of them now. So
and I still think it's because you wrote that record, right?
It definitely is.
It's the therapeutical thing that we talked about in the very beginning.
It was like 12 giant therapy sessions.
Yeah.
Each song, you know, it was really like looking straight into a mirror and saying, who are you? What do you want to be? Why aren't you where you want to be? Why do you deal with these feelings of self-hatred? And what, you know, why are you throwing yourself into situations that really sabotage your life? And why are you spending time with people that don't really care? And so it was a lot of asking questions. And it was, if you notice, like it's less pointing the finger outward.
Yeah.
This is the first record where I'm looking at myself and saying, maybe I have some things to fix.
Yeah.
It used to be you broke up with me or you lied or you left me or you abandoned. You know, and now it's like, whoa, Johnny, like maybe you've got some issues. Maybe it's not all your fault, but some of it is. And let's get down to it. So I just took each song as an opportunity to get real with
and
myself.
That's the result of a good therapy session. You get to know yourself a little better, right?
Yeah.
That's well, interesting.
And I also saved some money. I didn't pay an actual therapist. I like these songs are like the best listeners. They like don't talk back. You can talk forever.
So. Don't you talk back, song number three. There's one little thing that I have to talk to you about real quick as well, because I've listened to a little teaser or a little trailer that you did for us for Flux FM, where you say, oh, I like Flux FM and they're always nice to me. And we appreciate that as well.
Yeah.
But there's one little thing in there where you said that you had a little radio show when you were a kid.
I did.
Is that true? What was
I
that
did.
About?
I did. It was called XGX. And I don't know why it was called that. My father picked it out. My dad owned two radio stations, an FM and an AM.
Wow.
The AM was a Christian all-day talk radio.
Oh my God.
So these monsters.
Did I just comment that with, oh my God?
No pun intended.
Sorry.
No, so it was just like nonsense, hate speech, like all day long.
Fuck.
But, and then the FM was just like Christian gospel music 24 hours a day. And the AM station, for some reason, he one day just, you know, he wasn't kind to me as a kid. He was this shadowy figure in my house. I barely knew him. But this one day he just approached me and said, hey, do you want to have a radio show on the AM station? I thought, sure. And because obviously I love attention. And so he gave me 2 hours every week to kind of play my own music, and I did sketches and all of this stuff, but it didn't last for too long because I couldn't resist playing like punk bands.
Cool.
and you know, just I was really into punk and really into synth pop, and so I would play this stuff and it wasn't Christian music. And so but I still have them on cassette tape, these
wow
little, and actually at the beginning of Head of the Horse there's a little sample of me talking
as
a kid, and that's from that show.
Oh wow, yeah. Welcome.
So I always actually feel
show
at home. Yeah
Welcome and hail Satan.
I'm not mad at that.
Johnny, it was so great to be talking to you. It's always great when you're here. I want to thank you for visiting. There's so many things that we could talk about, but we're running out of time. You have to go sound check and meet the other guys. You have to take care of your sick boyfriend for a few minutes as well.
Juggling.
All these different things that one has to do during the day, right? Wir haben die letzten Tickets. We have really the last tickets for tonight's show at Lido. It's a sold-out show.
Oh, I didn't
show
know you had tickets.
Yeah, we have the last like four tickets, or maybe it's only two, but we have them and you can have them out there. Wenn ihr uns jetzt anruft unter der 030 2000 9000, Berlin 2000 9000, das ist die Nummer zum Glück. The Drums spielen heute Abend im Lido und stellen dort nochmal die aktuelle Platte vor, über die ich gerade mit Johnny, dem Chef des Ganzen, gesprochen habe. Johnny, as I said, always great. As soon as you need help maybe with the flat in Berlin, you come and contact
okay
us. We'll help you.
Yes.
We'll
okay
find a nice
I'll
place for you
that
and your boyfriend.
I'll remember that.
We want to help you
I
with
like
that
this area, but it's probably expensive around here.
It's getting more and more expensive because more and more people are moving here.
I know.
But you're still allowed.
Okay. I'll accept it.
Johnny, thank you for visiting. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Have great fun at tonight's show.
Thanks.